As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide makes simplicity a priority so financial professionals can help their clients achieve their retirement goals. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Pershing's Insight 2016, the must-attend event for advisors. Less than 2 weeks away, June 7th through the 9th. If you haven't registered, you still can. Visit insight2016.com. That's insite2016.com. Commodities sliding, led by metals, while stocks in the U.S. are little change as investors await more clarity on the timing of the Federal Reserve's next increase in interest rates and the outlook for inflation. The yen is strengthening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P 500, again, little changed at 2052. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 11 points to 17,514, and that's less than a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is up 0.3% or 16 points to 4785. 10-year Treasury up 0.3, the yield 1.82%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.89%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% or 84 cents to 4756. Six a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.20 to $12.46.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.11.95. The yen, 109.44. Bayer offering $62 billion to buy Monsanto, and Monsanto is up 5.5% today. Ares Capital, the publicly traded lender managed by alternative investment firm Ares Management, will acquire American Capital in a deal valued at $3.4 billion. And Tribune Publishing, infused with a $70.5 million investment from Nant Capital, rejecting Gannett's latest takeover offer, escalating the battle between newspaper publishers. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thank you so much. We are fortunate. He is out of Booth School, Chicago, and unlike some of the hysteria or confusion of the media, Richard Bourque actually does acute analysis of financials within the chemical space, and he joins us now from Bloomberg Intelligence. Richard, thank you so much for the clarity of your sensitivity analyses of debt and equity in this ginormous merger. You talk about debt capacity. How aggressive is Bayer being?
I mean, Bayer is being very aggressive. They are, but given that, they have talked to rating agencies, and they will still be able to, you know, based on S&P's report on Friday, said that they probably would downgrade them only two notches. They lose their A rating, but they'll still be able to keep their investment grade rating. And Bayer also, to their side, has pointed to in the past they've done this when they bought Schering and been able to delever back to the A rating in the past.
Explain to our sophisticated audience how they get to play by a different rule book, and that whether it's accretive next year or that, clearly, and this is very sophisticated, folks, the return on investment capital doesn't click in for years. Why does Bayer get away with that and many other big companies don't?
Well, it's kind of interesting, and we have some precedents in the chemical industry. Back last year, you had Rockwell, Albemarle bought Rockwell, levered up, passed the credit metrics for investment grade rating, which Bayer is doing here. You also had Eastman Chemical buying Taminco and the same thing. And interesting, you had Monsanto levering up to do a $10 billion buyback. Of the three, the only of those three transactions, the only one that got downgraded was Monsanto. And the reason why, the agencies will give companies a pass if they have a plan to delever. And this has usually been the case in M&A transactions. And the only case that we did see a downgrade was a share buyback where they were just transferring wealth from shareholder, from debt holders to shareholders, and the agencies don't look fondly on that. But if you can present a credible plan to delever to the agencies, usually they will give you the benefit of the doubt, and that appears to be what's happening in this case.
How soon would Bayer see enough of a return to make this worthwhile?
Well, because they're financing it pretty much with all debt, the equity holder is not getting diluted that much. You know, they pointed to their call that they actually see EPS accretion,
yes,
a year within the deal. And that's an interesting point that I think some people fail to grasp. If you do if you did 100% debt financing, no matter how much you pay, it's going to be accretive to shareholders because you're financing it with debt. You're not diluting the shareholders. So that's kind of what is happening here. They're issuing transactions being financed 75% debt. So they will be able to point to an EPS accretion.
But is Mario, Mike, I know you want to jump in here. Let me be quick, Richard. Richard Bork with us, fabulous on Bayer. Do you assume that some of their tranches of debt will be a negative yield? I mean, or under a quarter of a percent Apple-like debt? I mean, is it so distorted by Mario Draghi that they're going to be able to do this totally accretive due to negative yields?
I don't think they'll get that good rates, but I think the markets will look by this. You know, again, pointing back last year when Monsanto issued announced a $10 billion share buyback, financed for debt. They went to the debt market, and this was June of 2014, where the U.S. was not a negative yield, but in a situation where we had quantitative easing going on. And they only increased yield at their three-year point on their curve by 9 basis points, and at their third-year point on their yield curve of 25 basis points. So, seeing that the ECB is in a quantitative easing mode, you know, we'll have to see if debt holders,
right,
when the market, if the debt holders are going to extract their pound of flesh, or they kind of look through this and see that everybody's buying debt, we might as well jump on the bandwagon.
Mike, in yen terms, issued four years out, 3 years out, Bayer holding limited paper with a 0.59% coupon. Trading near par.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. I mean, I can tell you, Mike, in my study of this, as an amateur, unlike Mr. Bork, who's a grizzled pro, I've never seen anything like this.
Well, is there a final price estimate, Richard, that makes any sense at this point? I mean, I note that it's $122 a share offer. Monsanto trading only for, right now, with the markets open, $107.75. Normally, in an acquisition situation like this, you'd see the company being acquired. You'd see shares rising to meet the share price or over it if they want to drive the price up.
Well, but, I mean, let's go back a year ago and swap Monsanto's name for Syngenta and Bayer's name for Monsanto. And we had almost the same transaction, the same rationale, and you never saw the Syngenta shares pop up to what Monsanto was rumored to be offering. And I think, you know, people do have concerns, you know, one over the regulatory, if regulatory issues will maybe scuttle part of the deal, and two, you know, Syngenta was able to successfully kind of say no. It's going to be really interesting. Now, the shoe's on the other foot with Monsanto. What, you know, if they're going to kind of borrow a page from Syngenta's playbook and turn around and try to fend off this merger the way Syngenta was able to.
Bayer, has to, have an equity increase to minimize the amount of debt. The folks at Bloomberg Gadfly are writing that they could end up with a projected net debt of 55 billion euros, four times its estimated pro forma EBITDA for 2016.
Okay. Brilliantly said, Michael McKee. I mean, Richard Bourque, if rates go up, and how much do they go up within your sensitivity analysis, where this becomes problematic for Bayer, addicted to the free lunch they've got right now?
It's all going to depend what the final price works out to be paid, whether it becomes problematic. But right now, given where debt markets are trading, it doesn't look like it's going to be a problem for them to, finance this deal.
Richard Bourque, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. Bye. This is a moving target, folks. Somehow I think we'll be speaking with Mr. Bourque again. Bloomberg Intelligence. Mike, that was brilliant. That was really valuable.
And Chris Hughes, writing on Gadfly, makes a very, interesting point. He says basically what you get is a highly leveraged entity and buyer doing a deal that won't pay off for shareholders for at least 3 years.
Yeah, well, Citigroup, Peter Verdult at Citigroup, and I used this morning with the CEO, who I thought his response was very fair and very eloquent. Citigroup looks at return on invested capital versus capital expense, and they get a cross rate out at 2023. Now, and it's a squishy number. I get that. And as you said, Mike, there may be a revaluation here by Monsanto looking for a higher price. But don't lock me in, folks, to 2023. But nevertheless, it has a flavor of deals of another time versus the certitude of accretion that we've seen the last year or two with cheap money. That was very cool. Richard Bourque, thank you so much. It's an interesting week, and we're watching commodities. Euro 111.96, a weaker euro, stronger dollar, stronger yen this morning. We are produced by YUN, our global technical director, Ken Feliu. It's Bloomberg Surveillance.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.